The secret of a good beginning, or should I say the secret of a good sermon, is having a good beginning and a good ending and making sure them two are really close together. So that's what we're going to do tonight. All right, it's going to be really, really quick. We're looking at attitude. And I remember four coal miners years ago talking together. It took me quite a while to catch on to this. One of them said, there were about four of us together, he says, "Hey, what about that attitude?" And one of them turned around and said, "I haven't chewed anybody's hat." Anyway, okay. That's terrible, isn't it, really? It's just them stupid things that kind of log in your head. The word attitude in the Webster Dictionary means an internal position or feeling with regard to something or someone. Let me just read again from Philippians chapter 2. Again, listen to Paul. "Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, and if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And for this reason also God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I've been thinking about how God the Son came to identify himself with us. In other words, God becoming human. And so I've been looking at these two words, one called sympathy and the other one called empathy. And I want to look at the difference. And it kind of really nicely leads into what Ruth's been talking about, also leads into communion. Sympathy tries to feel its way. It's an emotion, but it lacks understanding of a situation and also as a person. Many, many religions, they give sympathy. But empathy is totally different. And you'll find this in verse 8. "Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death." So this is a person, he enters into the deepest possible awareness of another person and all that they are going through and all that they are experiencing. This is what I'm talking about, the word empathy. Empathy includes intellectual understanding and shared information as well as feeling. Being a servant is having the right attitude. And when you and I serve and we've got that real servant's attitude, we will sense the very presence of God, because that's what he would be doing. That's where he is. Empathy steps into another person's shoes, into another person's situation. So this is the love of God in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He hasn't just come to sympathize, he's come to empathize. And so I'm referring back to Job. God is not just up here as a Muslim thinks. God's up here and we're going to kind of do what he says, because that's what they think about this God called Allah. "I will give you instruction and you will do exactly what I tell you, and I'll make you prosperous and I'll make you financially wealthy." That's what they believe. But for us, this is God coming down to us. More than sympathy, this is real empathy. Sympathy, let me see if I can give you an illustration. Sympathy is a little bit like going to prison to visit someone or to visit a friend. And what you do is when you get into a prison, you'll come and you can't go into the cell. You can't do life with them in their prison. So you'll come and you'll sit and you'll talk to this person through a sheet of glass and through little holes and sometimes through a phone. You can't feel, you can't touch, you cannot do anything. The only thing you can do is actually sympathize with them. There's so many barriers, so you're really not doing life with them, you're just sympathizing. But empathy is different. Empathy is being in a person's cell. Empathy is sat on a bed, knowing that person's world, their identity, all the smells, all their surroundings. It is so, so different. You touch the feel. There's an openness. You can pray with them. You can lay hands on them. There's a close fellowship built. As you know, I used to be a prison chaplain. And I did it twice. I did it once in Dubai and I did it once in Guernsey. And there is a massive difference with trying to feel sympathy for someone, but very different when you go into a cell. I'm going to tell you a story about a guy called Kelvin. Kelvin used to kick off. Kelvin was a lovely guy, but he would do some stupid stuff and he'd get a good hiding every now and again by the inmates and also by the officers. And I remember once being asked to go and talk to Kelvin, and Kelvin kind of was a great guy, but a bit gullible. And I remember knocking on his cell and his door was a little bit ajar. So I kind of walked in and sat on his bed. I said, "Kelvin, what's going on? What's happening?" He went, "Oh," he says, I'm really, really fed up. And he'd been in jail for about 2 years. He'd done three previous stretches. He was around about 22 years old. And all of a sudden he says, I'm getting a bit edgy. I'm going to rip up myself. I said, "Hold on. I'll tell you what, I'm going to step out. You can rip up yourself. You can do what you like. And when you're finished, I'll come back in and we'll chat and we'll pray." And then I looked at him and he looked at me and he said, "Shut door." So I shut door. I'm still inside the cell. And I said to him, "What's going on?" He went, "Don't tell anybody." I said, "Kelvin, I said, I'm in touch with the governors. I work with them." I said, "I've got to be careful here." He says, no. And he says, "What it is," he says, "I'm 12 years old. I went on heroin and cannabis and smoking weed." And he says, "I've always been on a high." He says, "But in here, the only way I can get high is if I fake that I'm going a bit mad. And then the officers come in, pin me to the floor. And then the nurses come in and they inject me." He says, "That's the way I get high." Talk about crafty. But what I'm saying is he let me into his world. He let me into all his twistedness and all his background and all his history. He was totally messed up. What a lovely guy. I loved him. We got him like house on fire. But you see the difference in the sympathy of a sheet of glass and visiting him, but actually doing life with him in a prison cell. And that's what that's what he's done. He's not just sympathizing, he's empathizing. Look at John 1 and Hebrews 1. He's come, this is God as a man. He's been tempted in every way possible as you and I have. He knows exactly where we are. He's done it all. It's just incredible. Let me give you another example. We've all been out for a nice meal. And usually the people who come and serve you and I are waitresses or a waiter. By the way, you need to go to Mackenzie's on a Saturday because Leah's working there. She does a mean coffee. It's really good. I'm advertising here, aren't I? But you'll often find that if you go out for a meal, if the food ain't hot or the coffee's cold or something different is brought to what you've ordered, or the seats are not comfy or whatever, or it's taking them 25 minutes to bring a meal, who is it who gets the blame? It's the waiter and the waitress, all the time, every time. So when you look at this hierarchy of management right down, why is that? It's because these are the ones that we communicate. These are the ones at ground level, and Jesus has been at ground level, and he knows exactly where we are. So to move from sympathy to empathy, there's a massive emphasis of change. Sympathy, I'm not serving. empathy, I am. And here we have Jesus. What an incredible attitude. That God would just become human. That just blows me away. He knows what it's like to be tired. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like to cry. He knows what it's like to go through difficulties and struggles. He knows what it's like to be separated from his Father. He knows exactly where you and I are and where we've been. That God would do that for you and I. To empathize with us. He knows exactly what's going on. Jesus didn't say, I see. He came and he says, I know. And I fully understand. I'm just going to leave it. I'm just going to leave it there. It's a lovely thought that I've been looking at through Philippians and especially chapter 2. That God himself, he empathizes with you and I. He can identify with you and I.